여러분도
welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we're celebrating the life of Arlene Sorkin. My guests are Diane Pershing, the voice of Poison Ivy. We have directors Dan Reba and Kevin Altieri with us. We'll take your texts at 84126. All that and more. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games.
And if you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight, listening to us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're streaming us on YouTube and on Facebook, hello to all of you there. We appreciate you watching. Of course, if you're streaming us on the KTRS app or on the website there, we thank you for finding us there. And of course, as always, if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form, we appreciate you subscribing and listening there each and every week. Hopefully you've enjoyed what you've heard so far and you'll stick with us. This is our 375th episode, and I know Dan and Diane have been on the show before. This is my first time welcoming Kevin Altieri to the program, but I'm so excited to have all three of these great talents on to celebrate the life of the brilliant Arlene Sorkin. Thank you all for being on Geek to Me Radio tonight.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know we talked to Diane on the phone briefly. She's on the East Coast, so she's an hour ahead of us even here in St. Louis. So we're going to have the focus for the first half hour kind of favor Diane because we want to get her off because she's staying up past her bedtime for this, and I so much appreciate that. So we're going to get her wrapped up here in the first half hour. But I was looking and doing research all week long preparing for this show, and I just didn't know where to start. I mean, Arlene had such an amazing career. She touched so many people's lives. I know, Diane, you two, if it was done in episodic order, you two would have first met on Harley and Ivy, which launched a huge fandom for the two of these characters together. If you could share a little bit about the first time you met Arlene and worked with her.
Well, first of all, it was 32 years ago, 33 years ago now, right, guys?
Yeah,
when we started recording in 91, I think. Mm-hmm. And I met her on at the session. It was that simple. I think I'd been introduced already, Poison Ivy, yeah. And I heard... I don't think I actually even heard her then. I don't, you know what? Here's the truth. I don't remember. However, the moment, of course, we started working together, we clicked. Yeah, it was wonderful.
And you'd go on to do another great episode. I was rewatching all these episodes today. I binged another go through just to make sure I'd be caught up. And I forgot how great Girls Night is with you and Lori Petty as Livewire and Arlene Sorkin. That must have been such a fun recording session, Diane.
You know what? This, again, I'm telling you the truth. Because it was so long ago and there was years of recording, I don't specifically remember any one session. So I'm giving you, I'm not going to pretend.
No, that's
that,
fine.
I have a fabulous memory. I loved, and the guys are going to be able to back me up on this, I loved recording every single episode. It was a complete and total joy.
That was like actually probably the most fun part of like working on the cartoon, even though, you know, both Dan and I, you know, back me up, Dan.
Absolutely.
It was a blast, like just being able to draw the stuff. But the real fun was when you went to the recording, and Arlene was like, she was just so good. She was just so much fun. So much fun.
A doll. And, a doll. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Harley and Ivy in real life was a real thing. Because just seeing these two together was just...
Yeah, we really clicked. It was amazing. It was... the chemistry was there right away, and we chatted a little after the sessions, but we didn't really talk. We didn't meet and become, we didn't fall in love then. That was later. Yeah. But, it was wonderful. Everybody was so much fun. We laughed. Oh, we had such a good time making that show. Yeah.
And the fact that this character was literally, I mean, I've heard different stories, and obviously it's a lot of internet stuff. People, you know, they can get it wrong here and there. But from what I heard, she and Paul were college friends, and he literally saw the dream sequence in Days of Our Lives where she was dressed up as a clown, and he kind of wrote it with her in mind, and it was supposed to be just a one-off, we need a female character for the Joker to introduce in Joker's favor. And she just, Mark Hamill tweeted out on Arlene's birthday several years ago, and I had the tweet that I posted that he said, once we heard her voice, Mark said he hit the floor. Mark could not believe it. He's like, she was brilliant.
Yep. Absolutely. I thought she was doing, this is going to age me, but I thought she was doing a really good Judy Holliday.
Yes.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Oh, dear God.
Born yesterday.
I do.
That's okay. Oh, well, good. Judy Holliday talk like that. You know, that's what she did. And I thought, this woman really knows how to do her. Isn't that fabulous? Not knowing that that's how she talked. That's how she talked, you know? Anyway. Yeah.
I'll just want to interject one thing. It's like how it, I'm sitting in my office one day before Harley ever showed up, you know, and Paul Dini actually comes into my office one day and he goes and says, you know what? Remember back in the 60s, Cesar Romero was the Joker. Remember that? There's always a Moll in the gang.
Yeah.
There's always a gal there. Yeah, I think the Joker needs a girlfriend. And then he walks out and it's like, next thing you know,
there we are.
He is born. Yeah. And it was, and absolutely, it's like, you know, from back then, that there would be no Harley Quinn if there was not an Arlene.
Sort. Exactly.
Absolutely. You know,
she embodied
she was the inspiration.
She inspired the creation, you know. It was her.
I'm having trouble hearing that voice.
Let me see if I can pot Dan up a little hotter here.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Is that better, Dan?
I think so. I can hear myself.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. What I was saying is that the two are intertwined. She really was Harley. And there wouldn't be a Harley without her.
Exactly. Yeah, there would be no Harley without her. And when you think of how important the character is she's a fairly new character in the grand scheme of things. When you really think about the age of the comic book heroes and villains, I mean, Batman's coming up on his 80th birthday. We've got all these other characters. Clayface was, I think, first invented in the 60s, but Harley's from the 90s, and she's so popular. You can't go to a comic con. And Diane, I last saw Diane at Terrific Con, and I know we saw several Harley Quinn cosplayers there.
Yeah.
She's hugely popular, and it is all because of, well, Paul created it, but you know, we don't minimize the creativity, do we?
Sure.
But Arlene was just, she was sensational in the role. Absolutely. And as you know, everybody knows by now, I hope, she was a sensational human being.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I was thinking back to those times on Days of Our Lives, because my grandmother moved in with me shortly after my grandfather and my father passed within a year of each other. So my grandmother moved in with my mother and I, and my grandmother always had to watch her stories. So I'd sit there, come home from school, and I'd watch Days of Our Lives, and the chemistry that Arlene had with John DeLancey on that show is just unbelievable. I mean, that's something that I think she just, everything I've seen her in, she has that... I don't know what to call it, a certain je ne sais quoi, for lack of a better word, but she had this magnetism that other actors I've talked to loved working with her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, and Arlene was just, you know, the humor that's there. I mean, yes, the scripts are written, but Arlene's spontaneity, like just on the spot, was spectacular. She knew exactly the correct inflection. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to give her any direction for, I mean, I couldn't even remember, you know, ever giving her direction. All I could remember is just sitting there and just being enamored. Like if Kevin Conroy went and said, you know, you don't do anything, you don't touch anything, you know, unless I tell you, you got it. And then she goes, yes, sir. You know, it's like, that was her delivery. It was like, that was, no one had to question it, you know? It wasn't like they rehearsed it beforehand. She was just
no.
She was just so.
Yeah.
She just knew what was funny.
Yeah, if that's the way.
Totally, darling, wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, because they did pair Harley and Ivy going forward after the episode Harley and Ivy. You had some solo episodes here and there, but they paired the two of you a few times after that. And I don't know what it was about the chemistry of that character, but now we've got the Harley Quinn series on HBO Max where they're a fixture. Harley and Ivy are the main characters, like Laverne and Shirley. I mean, it's synonymous with each other. And I think that speaks a lot to Arlene's performance. But Diane, that goes a lot towards your chemistry with her as well. I can't say enough about the performance you gave as Poison Ivy, Diane.
Well, thank you. That's so darling. And really, to an extent, not completely, we were very much like our characters. I was a straight man to Harley. Let's face it, you know. But I was also the, shall we say, between the two of them, the sanest of the two, with limited, of course, effect. But the bottom line is, I was the person that kept her under control, or tried to, and I taught her lessons about men and how you don't let them walk all over you, and those kinds of things. And not that it did any good, needless to say, but it always fascinated me that she had been a psychiatrist, Harley Quinn. I mean, seriously, you know. And on the other, and you know, Poison Ivy was a PhD.
Right.
You know, come on, we're talking brains here. But they didn't exactly, shall we say, live up to their brain capacity. Neither of them. Yeah.
And I love the end of that episode, Harley and Ivy, where you and Arlene are driving away in the car, and you say, I think it's your line, Diane, you say, no man will ever be able to take us down. And it's Officer Montoya who ends up catching you both at the end of the episode, which was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
Yes, it's wonderful. Yeah. No, it was really, I'm still not quite over her death.
I'm sure.
To be honest. No. It hit me so hard. And I think about her daily. And I don't know if you know, but we weren't immediately close friends then. We liked each other. We'd run into each other over the years. But it was the last about 10 years while she was ill that I really, the friendship deepened so much. I used to go to her house and visit her and sometimes read to her and talk and just be friends.
Yeah.
And that's when I got to really know her. It wasn't on the series. It was later.
But that's so lovely that you had that time, you know, however long it was later, to have that friendship. And I'm sure she cherished it just as much as you did.
Well, it was incredibly special. She was an amazing woman. What could she do for you? That's all she wanted to know. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you need? I'll make a phone call for you. You know, mm-hmm. Always doing work. Oh, amazing. I mean, the stories that she would tell me was astonishing. And I would regale her with stories of going to the Comic-Cons and and all of the people that missed her and wished she could be there. And I always sent her the very best pictures of the cosplayers who were doing her character. I mean, there were some fabulous cosplayers.
No, those cosplayers really put such work into it. Like, I've seen a girl, I think it was at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City. I don't know how she was carrying the mallet that she had with her. It was twice the size of she was. But there's that episode also in Girls Night where Harley's dragging the mallet behind her, trying to bust open the cash machine and everything else.
Right.
So it's quite in character. But yeah, it was so sad. And she's one of the people I never had the chance to meet. I met Kevin so many times, and obviously I've seen you, Diane, several times now. I've met both Dan and Kevin in person. But she's one of those people I never got the chance to meet, which it's so sad that 67 is way too young for anybody to pass.
Yeah.
But that's such a heartbreaking we lost Kevin just the year before, and it's just so sad to think about it. And that's why I'm so appreciative of the three of you taking your time on a Sunday night to come on the show and share your reminiscences and your memories of her. So I do appreciate that very much.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, Kevin, what?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that amongst fans, I was perhaps the very first Harley Quinn fan. She was absolutely my favorite character. After Paul created her, and I was like, he would tell me, he would come into the office and say the next adventure. And I never met Arlene up for episodes because I wouldn't be assigned the show until Harlequinade.
Hmm.
So when I first met Arlene, I am exalted amongst all fanboys because when I met Arlene, I got to see her do Sing.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And
they will be sweethearts again. And I'm like, I just fell in love with her. It's like,
as I was doing my research, I thought, sure, those lyrics. I'm like, well, I wonder if Shirley Walker helped write the music for that. That's an original song, I found out. And I love the fact that the composer was Earl Brent, who was born right here in St. Louis in 1914. So that I love that. That made me so happy to know there's that little tiny connection. But the fact that it's a real song floored me.
Yeah. No, I mean, God, again. I can't even say how fortunate I am because, just memories just keep coming back. And I got to sit there and watch Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy with Arlene Sorkin.
Yeah.
And Arlene, in that particular episode, Arlene was forefront. It was her, it was like Harley's, almost like her solo adventure, And that, I mean, just that, and she did, and she sang that nutty song in the middle, and she was so, so good. And we're just sitting there, me, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, we're just watching her and just going, this is, this is gold. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I know Kevin had said before of Mark that, Kevin Conroy had said that, he'd be doing his lines, he'd look over and he'd have to stop and he'd start laughing because Mark Hamill is just looking at him with his hands on his chin on his hands, fanboying out. And Kevin goes, I can't do my lines. And Mark's like, I'm just such a fan of you guys. I can't believe I'm here doing this. And I think I've heard that from so many other cast members that they were just awed by the talent of the other people. And I think that it says a lot about Bruce Timm and about Paul Dini for picking the people, but also Andrea Romano, who was such a brilliant casting director.
Yeah.
Such a wonderful, wonderful director. Oh, my. The best. Really.
Yeah.
And I know
she knew those scripts intimately.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, Diane, you've mentioned that you've told the story before for me a couple times about how she helped you find the voice of Poison Ivy, which I love that story. But I think that she just brings out those performances in people. And I've talked to people from Batman. I've talked to people all the way forward from Voltron Legendary Defender who say that I've never heard anyone utter a bad word about Andrea.
No, there is no bad words to utter about Andrea. It's that simple. And the fact that she said to me, do you want to audition for this on the spot that day when they didn't have the voice, the woman that they had cast, apparently they had decided not to use. And on that day, they were going to record that first episode, Pretty Poison. And I was playing a minor role, and she asked if I wanted to audition, and I said, sure, because you always say sure when they ask you. And there it was. And I had the voice. I mean, I had the voice. I mean, I knew exactly what to do with her the minute I looked at the script and the picture of the character. My God, you know. So anyway, yeah. What did I call her? Tinkerbell with hormones?
That's right.
Something like that. And it was, it really was, what a joy. Yes. And she would, Andrea would, well, all of us, she would get the very best performance out of us that we had to give. And there were so many talented people on that show. It was a joy.
Yeah. I cannot understate enough, or I could not overstate. I always get my over and under confused. The chemistry that the two of you shared on those Harley and Ivy episodes are the reason we're now seeing, you know, shows dedicated on HBO Max to these characters. We're seeing, you know, comic book spinoffs like Gotham Girls and comic book spinoffs of the two of them together. And like I said, had it not been for Diane Pershing and Arlene Sorkin, I don't think we would have had that phenomenon today.
Wow.
Oh,
thank you.
Nope.
Woo.
Yeah, definitely not. You're absolutely right there.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't exist.
And I know we're coming up on the halfway part, and I promised Diane we'd let her go because she's staying up extra late for the show, which I greatly appreciate. Do you have any other, not to put you on the spot, Diane, but is there any special memory or if you have a most fond recollection of either working with her or a time that you guys went out to lunch and something zany happened? Anything else you'd like to, a story you'd like to leave us with about Arlene?
Just that I have rarely known someone with the magnetic life force that she had. The entire time she was ill, she fought like crazy to get past it. And it just, inevitably, it didn't. But she was a tiger. I mean, she was seriously a fierce fighter, funny, warm, down to earth, spontaneous, a joy, a total joy. And and so thank you. I'm older than all of you, so I have to go to bed early.
And you're an hour ahead of us too, so I don't blame you at all.
And the fact of the matter is that Arlene was a few years younger than me, and I felt sometimes like her mother because she was so filled with that kind of almost naive, wonderful questioning about things and tell me the story. And oh, God, she was such a joy. Anyway, doesn't matter because it does matter. But I'm going to go to bed now and I'm going to leave you two boys to talk with James and amuse everybody. All right with you?
Yes, I'll do it.
Yes,
I'll do
my best. We'll do our best.
Thank you so much for your time, Diane. I greatly appreciate it.
Sweet dreams, James. Wonderful to hear your voice, Diane.
Yeah, thanks so much. I love seeing you whenever we're at a con together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to do
bye-bye.
It.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to make sure I disconnect. Oh, she disconnected or not? I was going to have to disconnect the right line and make sure I didn't hang up on Kevin. That was Diane Pershing, the voice of Poison Ivy. We've got a lot more to talk about. We have director Kevin Altieri and director Dan Reba still with us. Gentlemen, I'm going to take a really quick commercial break because the station likes me to do that from time to time. So I'm going to take that break right now. We're going to come right back. after this. We'll talk more with both of these gentlemen celebrating the life of Arlene Sorkin. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Diane Pershing, the voice of Poison Ivy, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm your host, James Enstall. Want to tell you about one of our premier sponsors, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. Maybe you're looking for someplace new to go check out. Maybe now the kids are back in school, you're wanting to take a trip someplace cool, someplace fun. May I recommend the city of St. Charles? You can check out the website, discoverstcharles.com, to plan your trip. If you're from out of town, if you're on the East Coast like Diane Pershing, or the West Coast like my friends Dan and Kevin, you might want to plan a trip and check out. It's the Halloween season coming up, and fall is my favorite time of year. They've got a huge Halloween festival planned. You can go out there the last three weekends of October and interact with the likes of Lizzie Borden. You can talk to the Queen of Hearts. You can sing karaoke with the Phantom of the Opera. You can get told stories by the Brothers Grimm. It's a great time all through the historic district down there in downtown St. Charles. If you're coming from out of town, you've got world-class accommodations at four-star hotels. You can do bed and breakfast. If you want to rough it, there's camping sites, all sorts of things, and the food up and down Main Street is to die for. There's not a bad meal to be had anywhere you go. Go check them out. If you haven't been over there locally and you're here in the St. Louis area, go right across the bridge. Have some fun. Go for lunch. Check out the little shops that make up that area. Do some shopping. Shop local. Help out the whole area and have a good time while you're at it. Check out the website once again, Discover St. Charles. That's discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. We have Kevin Altieri and Dan Reba with us for the rest of the hour. We're chatting about Arlene Sorkin, who sadly passed away, the voice of Harley Quinn. I was struck by as I was looking over the stuff, the Harley Quinnade is the one you first. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking that's the first one you directed, correct, Kevin? With her?
Yes, Harley Quinnade.
But I was looking at the one Harley's Holiday. They actually have a statue of her with her big hat holding the hyenas on a leash that DC Direct made, which is the exact title card that's used for that episode, which was brilliant that they made that statue.
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite episodes that I directed. Yeah. And I was really, really happy because after Harley Quinnade, where, you know, it's a Harley Batman team up.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, it just added a dynamic to her character that, like, she has to cooperate and Batman has to cooperate with her with this nut job. And I don't think anyone could ever not hit it off with Arlene. She was just, she had that energy, you know, the energy of Harley Quinn. That was her. That was just how she was doing stand-up or whatever, you know, whatever character she was doing. And actually, here's one story. This is Arlene. I show up at the recording for the next one, Harley's Holiday, after Harley Quinnade, and I was really happy, you know, to be doing it again. Mark Hamill wasn't there, but you know, but Arlene showing up, and of course I got Dick Miller, you know, who's there, you know, again. And so it's like, oh, I'm really happy about it. Anyway, Arlene comes running in and says, Ooh, I got to tell you something. She comes up to me and says, I was just the speaker for the Girl Scouts of America. And I'm like, what? Really? Wow. It's like, wow. Because, you know, she said, yeah, I took this job, you know, they wanted me to speak to all these little girls, and here I am saying, you know, oh, this is wonderful. I'm a voice actress, and they just want to know about, you know, voice actresses and business and stuff like that. And then she goes, no, they went and said, no, because we think that Harley Quinn is a really positive role model for little girls. And I'm like, what? And Arlene's like, I said, what'd you tell him? He said, did you watch the show?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. And again, I don't want to get too deep down a rabbit hole here, but so many people have now, you know, they're armchair psychologists. They're pointing this out, you know, 20 years after the fact of how, oh, it's a toxic relationship and you shouldn't hold her up as a, but she got out of the relationship, I think is the point.
Yeah.
And I think people read exactly. a little too much into. People choose things to be upset about sometimes that I don't know. But yeah, I think it's fascinating. Not only her Arlene's performance, but the trajectory the character took over the past three decades as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. They kind of start. It started with. It's almost like a trilogy. You know, I don't know, but it started with Harlequinade, where she kind of sees the Joker for what he really is. He's going to blow up the city, and there's that great sequence with Mark Hamill as the Joker, where when Harley comes out, "Hi, Puddin', you miss me?" And it's like, he's going to blow up the city. And it's like, Harley? You know? It's like, and she's oblivious for the longest time until Robin mentions her babies, you know?
And then she starts trying to remember all the people in Arkham who are going to die. What about Lizard Face and, you know, the mud guy? She can't remember anyone's name.
Puppethead. Puppethead and Hat Guy.
Hat Guy, that's right. I'm curious, because she's such a gifted performer, and I know, same with Mark Hamill, how they would throw stuff out, and either one of you can speak to this. Was it strictly scripted, or were there times when they'd ad-lib a little thing, and some of that stuff would actually make it in?
Oh, they would ad-lib, right, Dan?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how much dialogue, but different stuff. They just brought to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like ad libs, like, you know, where the Joker's, you know, firing a machine gun, you know, Twin Lewis machine guns from a biplane at the atom bomb. Like, that bomb's gonna go off even if I go with it. And then Arlene's line, where she goes and shoots that that stupid little Joker puppet thing. And it bonks him on the head, where she goes and says, "Try this one on, Puddin'." You know, it's just like the hard Puddin'. You know,
right. Yes.
That's Arlene.
Hard Pudding. That's my band name, actually. That's funny. I should mention, I've been neglecting the chats. We've got Chance Bartel from Atlanta checking in. Zachary Nathanson says, "Hey, everybody." And Ian Thomas Harden says, "He just told his mom that Calliope from Days of Our Lives has passed away." I mean, that's one of the things. I never got to meet Harley, but I interviewed John DeLancey at a con in Richmond, and I had pre-set up the interview, and his handler said, if he's a little cranky, don't be upset. Evidently, a friend of his is fairly sick, and I found out afterwards that it was Arlene. I know she'd been wrestling with health issues, but the fact that John DeLancey worked with her, you know, again, 84 to 90, I think she was on Days of Our Lives with him, and that he was still so close with her, and he was so upset that she was having health issues. Again, that just speaks to Arlene's character, that she would maintain all these friendships, and it wasn't just one of those Hollywood, hey, yeah, we're, you know, we did this show together. It sounds like everything Diane said, too, that she just has a way of drawing people to her.
Oh, she was luminous.
Well, I mean, she did. I mean, she definitely did. It's like, you know, I mean, I didn't really meet her. I met her a couple of times just briefly, you know, and then when we worked together on Harlequinade, you know, it's like I felt like she was my pal, you know, she made you feel that way. And then the next time I saw her for Harley's Holiday, she was, you know, she comes running up to me. "I got to tell you something." You know? It's like you're in.
If I'm not mistaken, Dan, you only got to work with her on Joker's Millions. Am I correct?
No. Trial?
Trial, that's right. She wasn't that. Yes.
The Creeper. The Holiday Nights episode.
I forgot. But yeah, Holiday Nights. I watched that every Christmas. I forgot. Yeah, that's because that starts out another one with her and Ivy going shopping with Bruce Wayne's credit cards.
Exactly.
But the fact that you both got to spend that much time with her and everything like that, I would only imagine that, because I know, I think it was Tim Daly said, Andrea would not suffer fools. So Andrea only brought in people who were good to work with. So I can assume that only made both of your jobs that much easier.
Oh, I'll say it again. Amongst fanboys, I am exalted that it's like looking back and I'm like, how lucky am I, you know? I'm sitting there, all I got to do is sit there and take notes and watch, you know, the actors in the booth. And then it's like, and just one of the most joyous things to ever see is like Mark Hamill. I got to see the Joker and Harley acting. to each other. And it was just, well, I mean, this chemistry ain't even the word for it. I don't even know. And then Kevin Conroy, it's like, and just like, in, especially Harley's Holiday and Harlequin, and well, even Harlequinade, it's like just the stuff. Well, I mean, where it's like, where Kevin Conroy plays Batman is such a curmudgeonous, you know, straight guy. He's so, he's mean to her, you know, because he absolutely needs her, and she's just Harley, and it's like he's sitting there, they're driving, and he's talking to Robin, and then he signs off, and it's like, I'm going to listen to the radio. Where did that come from?
She fires the parachute out, which I thought was great, a little nod to the 60s Batman series I found, but... But yeah, that's, and I know by the time, Dan, that you got around to directing Holiday Nights, Harley and Ivy, that chemistry was fairly well established, because that was by the time the New Adventures of Batman, where everything had been rebranded and the look had changed. So I take it that once you had both Diane and Arlene in the booth, it required little effort on your part to draw that out. And
absolutely. No, they nailed it. I mean, it was, I just sit back and watch them, you know, it was amazing.
With all the work they've done too, I know like the episodes, it can't be understated enough how important Batman the Animated Series is. It changed the face of, you know, animation as we know it, with the different roles and all these people who have voiced these iconic characters. It's to the point now that Alan Burnett and Paul Dini are doing a Batman Adventures Continues comic book from DC. It's one of the few DC comic books I still pick up, but I hear those voices when I see those characters. I'm hearing Tara Strong as Batgirl. I'm hearing, you know, Arlene as Harley and Mark and Kevin as Joker and Batman, respectively. It's just one of those things that it's in, those voices are ingrained in our psyche. And I don't know that I can picture, because they've obviously had other people voice these characters since then, but I can't hear any other voice except Diane's and Arlene's and Mark's. And I think that that's just a testament to the work the directors like the two of you have done, Andre and the voice directing aspect, and obviously the actors themselves.
Yeah. You know, well, I even got in trouble a little bit on the new Harlequins show, because I did some boarding and I did some work on it. And when I'm boarding and I look at Harley, even that Harley, in my mind's eye, in my brain, I hear Arlene's delivery.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily the voice acting that's happening, which is my fault.
Well, I have had this conversation before with Dan Gilvezan, because I grew up watching Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. So what if I read a Spider-Man comic, Dan's voice is the one I hear, regardless if I'm, you know, I didn't dislike the other actors who voice Spider-Man, like Josh Keaton or Yuri Lowenthal. It's just that Dan is the voice I grew up hearing. So that's the one. And I think there's a whole generation of people who are now showing Batman the Animated Series to their kids. So that's what they're going to hear growing up.
But the difference is that other people are acting a character, and Arlene was Harley.
Yeah.
She inspired the character. Everything she said was funny. And she could tell a story that could have you rolling on the floor. And there wasn't anything that funny in the story. It's just the way that she told it. And it was self-effacing and hilarious. And I can't repeat the story because I'm not her.
No, but yeah, think about it. It's
I promise you would have cried laughing, and it was just this amazingly funny person, inherently funny person. Yeah.
No, think about it. It's like Harley. Like, and here I'm just speaking about the shows that I was directing, but just from witnessing, I'm watching these people in the booth, and it's like, she's funny with when she's teamed up with Veronica Vreeland. She's funny when she's teamed up with Boxy Bennett, Dick Miller, right?
Right.
She's funny when she's teamed up with Batman. She's funny with Robin.
She's funny being chased by the Creeper.
Yeah. No, and it's like her inflections, I don't know. And then when it comes time, because we always had the voice recording first, and then the boarding came second with rare occasions.
Hmm.
But when it came to those shows, even the parts where Harley's feeling sorry for herself, and you know, Veronica and her are driving in the Bruce Wayne's stolen Cord, you know, his stolen car. And her reaction, and it's like how you animate the how you animate Bud and Lou, the hyenas, the babies.
Right.
It's like they're straight men to her. You know, their acting is based on, you know, Arlene's performance too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just God.
And Holiday Nights when they kill Bruce Wayne. Oh my God! They're gone.
Oh well, we're gonna kill him anyway.
We're gonna kill him later.
It's fine. We're going to take another very quick commercial break. If you're just now listening, if you have anything you'd like to, if you have a memory you'd like to share, I know we've seen a couple texts come through here. Zachary Nathanson says, Harley's Holiday remains one of my favorite episodes from the animated series. Her and Mary Lou Henner were amazing in that episode, the second act, with Mary Lou Henner voiced Veronica Vreeland, if I'm not mistaken. Am I?
Yeah.
Good. So, but yeah, that's, again, that speaks to the voice chemistry as well for the actors. But feel free to text us or on the KTRS text line at 84126. We're going to take another quick commercial break. We are listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstone. I want to make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor, Bugs Comics and Games. If you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, drive on out to O'Fallon, an easy drive, either from Highway 70 or from the Page Extension 364. They're right there on Bryan Road in O'Fallon. If you are looking to get into comics, maybe you haven't picked up that new Batman Adventures Continues comics from Paul Dini and Alan Burnett, and you want to get into that. Maybe you want to see if he has any of the older Batman Adventures comic books that were out. Or maybe you're a Marvel guy. We won't hold that against you. If you like Spider-Man comics or the Avengers or want to see what the Hulk's up to, check out Larry at Bugs Comics and Games. Join the Avengers Club, because in this economy, you save money where you can. You join the Avengers Club, you start saving money on your new issues, your back issues, your toys, your games, your collectibles, whatever it might be. And he's got a lot of inventory to choose from. He's always buying collections. So maybe you're wanting to divest yourself of some comics. Maybe you've got too much comics taking up too much room. Give Larry a call. He'll give you the best price in all of St. Louis for your collection. Because he's always buying, he's always new inventory out. So if you haven't been there for a while, go check him out. He's got books to fit every price. He's got first appearance of Punisher, a little bit pricier book. He's also got dollar books. He has sales going on occasionally as well. So check out his new issues, back issues, whatever it might be. Bugs Comics and Games. Give their Facebook page a like, Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. Tell them you heard about it on Geek to Me Radio. We're chatting here for the rest of the hour. This hour is blown by. I love it when I have so many guests, but I also, it makes me sad because the hour flies by so quickly, and I'd love to keep talking to both of you. Diane, of course, is already long asleep. She probably had her hot toddy, and she's in bed already, but I appreciate the two of you West Coasters sticking with me. We've got Kevin Altieri and Dan Reba talking with us, celebrating the life of Arlene Sorkin. I'm often curious, because obviously Andrea Romano did the voice directing, and the two of you direct the episode overall. With an animated series, are you just kind of watching, because you said that, like, I know Kevin mentioned the storyboards aren't always there first. What is the how much directing, especially with veteran characters who know their role, how much do the two of you really have to, is it a grueling task to do this? We'll start with Dan.
Grueling? No. honestly, with a show like this where everybody's at the top of the game, then that part of the process is fairly easy. You have things in mind that you want to get across, but Andrea's already got there. She knows what the story is. So I could just certain inflections or distance between characters, things like that, that you're planning on staging a certain way. And that's kind of what I deal with. Let the actors do what they do.
And Kevin?
I was going to say, it's like with this cast, with rare occasions, it's like, okay, but I'll say, you go there and you're basically just like, like on Harley's Holiday, I'll just pick on that. I could think of like two things that I had to say that I wanted. Mm-hmm. you know, other than Harley hitting Putin really hard, you know, but, you know, it's like, for instance, probably the only time that Mark Hamill was perhaps miffed with me was because when Harley shows up and in my mind's eye, I see her leaping into his arms and he goes, Harley? And forgive my impersonation, but Mark wanted to go and say, Harley? Harley. And I went, I'm sorry, Mark, but no. You're just dumbfounded that she's here. You know? He's like, what? I really like that line. but it's like you'll get it when the animation comes back, you know. and maybe, you know, with in the song where, you know, Arlene sang Let's Be Sweethearts Again, and where the guys, it's like, you know, where they're talking about throwing acid in her face.
Right.
I had her do it a second time only because I said, we're going to, you grab your face and you actually stretch it out. You know, yeah. That would be the extent of our input.
Right.
You know, and yeah, because Andrea, generally, if you're sitting there watching performances, I mean, of that cast, you're just sitting there, you know, and as you're making notes, when you hear something that, oh, we got to hit this point. When,
exactly.
You know, and then Andrea would just go and start giving directions to the guys, and she's hitting your notes that you were just writing down. And she hasn't seen them. She just, that's just her instinct. She understands the cartoon, you know, and
speaking of the cartoon, I learned things, which I love. I did not know that Arlene was a writer on Tiny Toon Adventures. She wrote on that for 2 years and then blows me away. She wrote both. She was a co-writer of the story, and she also wrote the screenplay for Jennifer Aniston's movie Picture Perfect. I was blown away. I'm like, how? It's not fair that one person is that talented as an actor and then they get to be a writer. It's like, come on.
But the way she can tell a story, it shows. That's a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And she, and the weird thing is like, what, I mean, again, Dan and me, like we are amongst fanboys. We are exalted. The things that we got to see on a regular basis. It's like, yeah, it's your job. And yeah, it's a lot of work. But that was the most fun. I mean, other than perhaps watching Shirley Walker conducting like a 34 or 60 piece orchestra.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine.
You know, that's another giant, gigantic plus for the job.
But, and we could do an entire another show on Shirley Walker's music. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
No.
Just absolutely amazing. And like I said, it's just one of those things that made this series such a groundbreaking show. I mean, just that the dark backgrounds that they used for the art and the animation, the full orchestra that we had, just brilliant.
Yeah. No, and it really says something too. It's like, because you may know that someone's sick or whatever, and you don't see them all that often.
Yeah.
You know, like Kevin Conroy and Arlene, but my God, it really hits you when you hear the bad news, and it's just, it's just, you know, it's like they give so much joy, and they get, you know, and they made everyone so happy that it just makes the tragedy that much worse. Just really, really, really sad.
Yeah, I know we're coming. Oh, sorry, Dan, go ahead. You want to add something?
No, it's the world lost somebody really special, and it's awful.
And just 1 year after losing Kevin, less than a year after losing Kevin, which is just kind of like an extra kick in the gut, you know. But
it's not fair.
Yeah, we
it's not fair at all.
And I know because there were people, and it's not that their loss was any more or less tragic, but. You know, they died earlier on. I never got the chance to even Bob Hastings, who voiced Commissioner Gordon, Aaron Kincaid, who voiced Killer Croc, and I know Michael Ansara, who voiced Mr. Freeze, which that's another performance altogether. The fact that he brought that character to such great heights. Yeah. But it just, again, it goes to show you the tremendous talent. And I'm so jealous the two of you got to work with so many great and amazing people.
Believe me.
And it's like, and you got people, I mean, yeah, again, it's like Bob Hastings, another, and Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, believe him.
There were those people, you know, like, especially Bob Hastings. It's like, I'd show up at a recording, and he'd be like, hey, kid, how's your dad, you know? You know, it's like, he's just so happy to see you. You know, and to talk about things, and Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is the same thing. He I showed up and he says, "Hey, my daughter just won an Emmy." You know,
I know Lauren Lester just posted his daughter won an award recently too. So it's Lauren Lester's got the acting gene in his family, which is amazing. We're coming up on the very end of the show here. This is I need to petition KTRS to give me a second hour because we could go on and on. Dan, I know you and I are going to talk here briefly because I want to chat with you about something. And Kevin, I want to talk to you. One of my favorite cartoon shows ever, Cops, Central Organization of Police Specialists. So, Kevin, I've got to have you back on the air to talk about that.
Dan was on Cops, too.
That's right. I remember seeing that in your bio. But, yeah, I mean, I had all the action figures as a kid. My mom's like, I'm sick of smelling those cap smells because I'd fire their guns off and the toys. It was, you know, the brilliant marketing strategy of the 80s. They had the toys, the comics, and the cartoon show.
It's crime, fight, and die.
Yeah, it's crime, fight. I mean, yeah. So, you know, we'll have both of you back on if you're game for it to do a special Cops episode, because I think that's coming up on an anniversary for that here. I think this year might be its 35th anniversary.
Wow.
1987, maybe 1987, 40. So maybe it's 36. But anyway, I so much appreciate both of you taking the time. Hopefully we can get you both back on either together or separately here before the end of the year, because I've got so much more I'd like to talk to you about, because I wanted mainly to make sure the focus tonight was on Arlene. So thank you both for taking the time, telling your stories, and I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Yes.
So I will let you both go. Dan, if you wouldn't mind sticking around. Actually, Dan, I'll call you right after the show's over. You don't mind.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good rest of your night. Take care.
Yeah. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. There they go. Dan Reba and Kevin Altieri, two of the greats. Those episodes wouldn't be what they were, if not the voice acting, but obviously the directing, too. Quite important there. Before I let you all go, I want to make sure we tell you about, we've got a new sponsor on the show. It's Citizens Debt Relief. If you have more than $10,000 worth of credit card debt, you might want to give them a call. Unsecured debt, so it can't be, you know, obviously something like a mortgage. But if you want to get rid of some debt, these credit card bills, man, they are killing so many people out there, especially in this economy. I just saw a statistic that said 61% is the amount of credit card usage has gone up in this country in just the past few years. People are dipping into their savings. People aren't, you know, their dollar isn't stretching as far. They're putting a lot of stuff on credit card. If you are in that fix, and I'm telling you this from experience because I was in that fix, Citizens Debt Relief helped me out. You know that I would not tell you about a product or a service or a company that I do not support, that I do not use, that I do not endorse personally. Citizens Debt Relief is no exception to that rule. Give them a call. They've set up a special number just for my listeners, so you can do a special consultation with them if you want to just chat. No pressure at all. Chat with them. Say, hey, I'm not sure if I'm a good fit for this, and I know they're not available in all states, so give them a call. Check it out. It's not going to hurt you at all to call them. They have a special number set up, 877-811-1339. Now, these people are Trustpilot. A-plus with them, A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. They're completely legitimate. And I know you get those flyers in the mail all the time. People say, oh, we'll give you a loan. We'll get you out of credit card debt. We'll give you $70,000. And it always strikes me as fishy. I always rip those up. I have a friend who works for this company who's the one who turned me on to them. They're the real deal. Citizens Debt Relief can help you out if you have more than $10,000 worth of unsecured debt. Give them a call. Again, this is a special number set just for Geek to Me Radio listeners. So give them a call. Very free consultation. 877-811-1339. Check out the website. Check them out for yourself. CitizensDebtRelief.com. Again, limited availability in some states, so check them out. Their average debt, if you think, oh, I've got way too much debt, I'm in over my head, the average person brings them $24,000 or more in credit card debt. They've helped so many people out. They can help you out, too, just like they helped me. 877-811-1339. 39 citizensdebtrelief.com. Brand new sponsor for Geek to Me Radio. Hopefully you'll give them a call and let them help you out of debt. Again, I give huge thanks to Diane Pershing for joining us in the first half of the hour, the voice of Poison Ivy, Dan Reba and Kevin Altieri, fabulous directors who worked with Arlene Sorkin. We're here celebrating her life tonight, less than a year after we lost Kevin Conroy, which, man, this is it's starting to hurt. So hopefully I can have these people on when we're not mourning the loss of a great talent, because it's always like, we like to do fun stuff here on Geek to Me Radio. I want to make sure we tell you Kokomo Toys, that we did partner with them. We didn't have time for our Kokomo Toys trivia tonight, but we will be bringing that back next Sunday. So if you are listening, it didn't go anywhere. We're going to have trivia again. Your chance to win a fabulous prize pack from our partners at Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. This is like, when I die, I want to be cremated and have my ashes scattered at Kokomo Toys. The place is brilliant. If you're a toy collector, you have to go there. It's like just nerdvana. Go check it out. Toys, I mean, they've got 80s toys. They got the die-cast metal 60s toys. They have Funko Pops. They have loose action figures, carded action figures. If you follow them on Instagram, you'll know what I'm talking about, because it's just walls and walls and walls of toys in display cases on racks. It's the greatest thing ever. So you want to make sure you check them out. Kokomo Toys, follow them on Instagram and on Twitter as well. That's going to do it for our show. My thanks, if I'm grabbing the right camera, I think I am, to Joey V for coming in here. Am I grabbing the wrong one? I'm grabbing the wrong one. The other camera? There's Joey V. Over there. There he is. He just has wisdom teeth out, but he's in the studio helping me nonetheless. Thanks to all of you for listening tonight. Thank you, and until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound be. It's not in the way you watch the flash. It's not in the
kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.